Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. And if you got the last podcast, you know it was really loaded with a lot of information about how to pray for our nation. And since last night and early this morning, the Lord has been talking to me more about the church, how they missed God, why they missed God. And one of the things he did in the wee hours of the morning is he woke me up and he was quoting John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what the Lord explained to me is that people were believing with their head, but they never received him in their hearts. He that believeth in the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That particular verse, and that's verse 36, is a paraphrase of verse 3:16. What's interesting, if you look at the interpretation in the Greek, believeth and believeth not are two different things. The believeth is hearing. The believeth not is disobedience. So basically what John was saying is, you have life if you hear it and do it. But if you don't do anything about what you've heard, you will not see life and the wrath of God will abide upon you. The Lord brought this to my attention many, many years ago, because as the scripture reads in John 3:16, whosoever believes should not perish, but has everlasting life. The promise is, if you believe, there's an assumption there that you will receive and do what's necessary to receive. Therefore, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. We have to do what's necessary after we hear the word in order to make sure that we are receiving Jesus Christ and receiving that word within us so that we will not perish. One of the things he reminded me of is that this verse was directly connected to another verse in the book of Acts, chapter 3. And you may remember when Peter and John were going into the temple, they saw the man who was lame at the temple at the gate. Beautiful. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but as such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Well, if you remember the story, people were marveling at how this could be done. How could these men make this man who's been lame all these years to actually get up and walk? And Peter starts on his discourse talking about who Jesus Christ was and how this man was not made a whole because of what they did, but because of the faith he had in the name of Jesus Christ. Toward the end of the passage, he says, in verse 19, he says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Basically, that was the call to salvation. But then he continues to go on and starts preaching Jesus, and he goes back to Moses. This is a key verse. It's in verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, let me stop here, because one of the key things the Lord emphasized to me is that the church in America today has basically done the same thing that the ancient Jewish church did in Jesus' day. They had the scriptures. They believed in the scriptures, but they never received Jesus as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as their Messiah. And he took me back to this original passage that Moses spoke here, and that was in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And we're looking at around verse 15. He tells them about the new land that they're coming into, and how when you get into this new land, you don't go with the people in the land. Don't follow what they do. Don't follow their charmers, diviners, or spirits. Or he talks about all the witchcraft that's going on in those areas. He said, thou should be perfect before thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not suffered you to do so. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according that all thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And I'll stop there. And here's what the Lord was speaking to me. Moses was given the law. The people were given the law. The thing that's important is, it never mattered throughout history how much scripture the people had. They were always promised that God was going to send a person, a prophet, a living, speaking voice for their daily lives. That's why he told them, stay away from the diviners, stay away from the witches, stay away from those who are doing witchcraft. I'm going to send you a prophet. And all of the prophets spoke of a day where God was sending a redeemer. He's sending a Messiah for his people. So that's been the promise. And that's the promise for Jews today. Now, somewhere in this message of the gospel, the church got it wrong. Jesus has the same discourse John chapter 5, he has the same discourse with the Pharisees because they're not receiving him. And he tells them, listen, you look through the scriptures thinking in them you have salvation. But I'm the one those scriptures are talking about, and yet you don't believe me and you don't come to me to receive. So they're doing the same thing people are doing in church. We're reading about Jesus. We're reading about what he has done, but we're not stepping up to the plate and saying, okay, I receive him. I believe him. I want it now for me. I take it for my own. And that's a big issue in the church. And one of the things the Lord pointed out also was we take for granted the Spirit. But there's so much scripture that tells us that the Spirit is our witness. From Romans chapter 8 to 1 John chapter 5 is one of my favorites. It said, verse 10 says, he that believes on the Son of God has witness in himself. And he that has not that witness, basically is what it's saying, is a liar. So you have to have a witness within yourself. And in verse 12, he says, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. But there's a witness within you that should let you know whether or not you have the Son of God residing in you. We know that the point of salvation, when you believe you receive, the Holy Spirit comes in and resides within your heart. That is a sign of a true believer. There has to be something in you that says that God is inside of you. And because that is the voice, that is the guide that's going to guide you through life, is internally. Because you have to remember, Jesus also said, they all will be taught by God. That was a promise. That's what's a promise. That's why he was sending the prophet. So they would be taught directly from the throne room by God, by his Spirit. Yeah, they had the scriptures. The scriptures were part of it. But they will be taught by the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah chapter 31, that was a promise of a covenant being placed in the hearts of people. No longer is this covenant of stone, like the Ten Commandments that Moses had. But God said, I'm putting my laws in your heart. The lawgiver is the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, he brings the law of God. He brings the Spirit of God. That Spirit becomes your guide in everyday life. And as Jesus said, he said, I am the one that comes from the Father. So throughout all the scriptures in the New Testament, he talks about, I'm the one that God sent. And they all remember, this is the one that Moses talked about. I mean, it's all throughout the scriptures because the Jews understood. Yeah, we have the scriptures, but God was sending a person, a voice of a prophet. He said, if we did not listen to this voice, we would not have life. Even Jesus said, there's coming a time that the dead shall hear my voice. Again, it's the same voice. It's not the scriptures. They will hear the voice of God. And those who hear that voice shall live. Again, he says in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. So he keeps talking about the voice. And that's the thing that's missing in the church. We hear the voices in our head, but if you don't receive Jesus Christ, there's no voice in you. There's no witness in you. There's nothing in you that gives you, as Romans chapter 8 says, there's nothing that's inside of you that is telling you you are now a child of God and that you're an heir with Jesus Christ for the kingdom. There has to be that witness in the Spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit. And I'm also calling also the discourse in John chapter 3 that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Now again, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. They knew the scriptures. They knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. They knew the prophecies as well and the promises of God. And he was confused because he's like, well, wait a minute. You're saying you have to be born again, but how does that have to do with what we've been promised? You know, he's basically saying, okay, we're looking for a prophet. And now you're saying we have to be born again, when he didn't really understand the whole process of converting to that point of salvation. And Jesus said to him, you know, you're a teacher. You know not these things. I'm talking to you things of the Spirit. How can you can only teach what you know? And obviously he didn't know enough. But one of the things he started talking to him about was how the Spirit moves and how you would have confirmation and witness. He talked about in John 3:5, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born of water, being born of the Spirit. He's referring to that transformation when the Holy Spirit comes in and resides there. You cannot enter the kingdom unless the kingdom is in you. How about that? He says, those are born of the flesh is flesh, and those are born of the spirit is spirit. And he said, don't marvel at how you can be born again. It's not anything you can figure out in your head. In verse 8, he says, the wind blows where it wills. You hear a sound, but you can't tell where it comes and where it's going. He says, so is it like for everyone who's born of the Spirit. And this is key. Because people in the church try to predict what God is doing based on their physical understanding of the Scriptures. I've been walking with God a long time. And all I know is He goes where He wants to go. He changes His plan when He wants to change a plan. The thing I do know is His main purpose and will for men is the same, but how He accomplishes it, how He goes about it, is up to Him. Even in my life, I follow the Lord. I follow the Spirit. And He, I don't think He vacillates, but He goes from place to place. He moves in ways, I mean, sometimes it wears you out, but it's just unpredictable. I don't know what He's going to, even as a prophet of God, I can only tell you what He tells me. I can't fill any blanks because I don't really understand how He's going to fill in those blanks. All I know is if He tells me to say this, I say that. If He tells me to go here, I go there. But I don't try to figure anything else out because this is the Spirit. We have the mind of Christ in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's called the mind of Christ. That is our guide. But we can't expect to know everything. He flows. He gives us what we need to know at the time. So we have to be willing to move and flow as He flows. And it's one thing that most church people, religious people cannot get. And it's really kind of interesting because it's some people see it as an intangible, negligible part of the Christianity. And that's why a lot of seminaries teach against the Spirit. They teach against the supernatural works of God. And unfortunately, that's why a lot of the churches don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit other than being the Godhead, but they don't acknowledge the work of the Spirit in salvation. They'll talk about some things, but then they limit it. They don't want to go into the gifts. They don't want to go into anything that's supernatural because they don't understand. And here's a clue. They don't understand because they don't have the Spirit. Remember Jeremiah said, nobody has to be taught by man. They all shall be taught of God. Jesus said it in John 6:45. God does the teaching by His Spirit. It doesn't mean we don't need pastors and leaders and teachers. What it means is each individual has an individual guide placed within them that's already configured for their purpose in life. That guide is the Holy Spirit. Each of us is different. He knows how we should be running our lives, and He guides us. That's why Jesus told His disciples, I'm leaving the earth, but I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm leaving another for you, and He will guide you into all the truth. He will tell you everything that's of mine. He will tell you what's to come. That was the whole purpose that Jesus was coming to the earth, so that He could guide His people as a prophet, as Moses predicted, as a prophet to guide them in daily life so they wouldn't have to go to horoscopes, so they wouldn't have to go to the psychics, but they had God Himself from the throne room. So when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, now mind you, they have the Scriptures, but they didn't recognize Him. He says, I speak to you what I've seen from my Father, and you do that which was you see with your father. And that's verse 38 in chapter 8. And he says, well, Abraham is our father. And he says, well, if Abraham was your father, you'd do the deeds of your father. Now, this is also key. If you are born of the Spirit, God is your father. Therefore, your works, your deeds, everything you do will tend to look like your father. That happens in natural biology. People have fathers. They tend to pick up the tendencies of their father. So if people are in the church and they're acting like the devil, God is not their father. In fact, that's the message He told the Pharisees here. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Because they were caught up in their lust, caught up in their emotions, caught up in their physical flesh. They never had the Spirit of God in them. So they could not relate to what Jesus was saying. But for those who are in the modern world, after Jesus' resurrection, He told the disciples, there's going to be a time that the Spirit is going to come and He's going to dwell within you and be with you forever. That's how it's going to be from now on. That's the covenant that's going to be in your heart. You'll have a knowing inside of you what's right, what's wrong, what to do, what not to do, which way to go, which way not to go. And that's evidence that you're saved. That's the evidence that you belong to God when you have that inside of you. But the church is missing it. And the Lord said it's primarily because they never received. And it's really amazing because in John chapter 8, the same 8, verse 42, Jesus tells them, I have proceeded forth and came from the Father. And the Lord reminded me of something. We talked about yesterday that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus was a word. He was made flesh among us. And in chapter 8, he's saying, I'm the preceding word. I'm the one that proceeded from the throne of God. And we also know that he said, who believes on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. That's the Spirit. This is the same Spirit that's flowing, the pure river of water that's flowing out of the throne of God, as mentioned in 22. So when we have him in us, when we truly believe him, we have a connection, that river of water flowing through us, that river of his spirit flowing through us, guiding us, moving us, and directing us and shaping us into the destiny that God has for us. That is how we know that we are saved. And it was kind of sad because when he was telling me that the church doesn't have it, I'm like, Lord, well, how is this possible? Yeah, he talked about the seminary trained pastors who don't believe. And it's amazing because one of the first things that I ran into when he started sending me to churches in LA was pastors who laughed at me because I believed the Bible. And I'm like, what do you mean I believe the Bible? Well, you know, we taught in a seminary. It said they're just fables. They're just stories and things that we can analyze, but not to really have any faith in them. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. That's kind of crazy. How can you get up and say you have faith, but you really don't? You're talking as if you do, but you're saying in your heart you really don't even believe. And since the Lord has shown me, there are a lot of pastors who never received Jesus Christ themselves. So they can't teach, as he told Nicodemus, you can only teach what you know. So they can't teach the Spirit because they don't know the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit. And it's an issue. Sometimes I've had a couple of different occasions where the Lord's had me do altar calls for pastors. I'd be doing a pastor's meeting or a training. He'll say, do an altar call. Now, you know, that's intimidating. You know, these people have been in ministry for 30, 40, 50 years. And then here I am, this, you know, I haven't been in it so long, maybe 20, 30 years or whatever. But still, the Lord would tell me, do an altar call. And I will speak. Because he says a lot of them have receive the ministry, but they never receive Jesus Christ. And until they receive Jesus Christ, they cannot bring the people to the knowledge of Christ because they don't know it. And it's really unfortunate because that is the state of American Christianity. And I know that there have been some very, very, very large ministries that have large followings, can book up stadiums, and the leaders that are there don't have God in them, never got saved. But the people don't know it, mainly because since the church, and I can tell you, kind of sad, since the church never really received Jesus Christ, the people really aren't expecting him to show up. So they expect to go to get thrilled, to get entertained, to say hallelujah, fall out on the floor, and they go home the same way they came in. So there's no supernatural power transforming their lives, but they're used to that. So church becomes an anesthesia. It's like drinking and going to a bar. It's like smoking weed. It's a high. But then when it's all over, you have the reality of your life. And that's how a lot of people use the church, because there's no power in the churches. But the Lord wants to remove that misunderstanding and get people back to the point where they actually receive who he is. And it's very interesting because it's not like they haven't heard the message. They all have heard the message. They just refused it. And he told me how this is very similar to what happened to the people in the wilderness. So the Lord took me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to explain a little more how this parallels with the people of God in ancient days. He says, more the brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that your fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, which means they saw the miracles of Moses. All were baptized unto Moses and the cloud and the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual meat. They had the manna. They all did drink the same spiritual drink. They all drank from the rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, and he overthrew them in the wilderness. Now, he tells us that these are examples for us, you know, so that we can make sure that we're not idolaters like they were, that we're not complainers and fornicators, and we don't tempt God, and we don't murmur like they did. These are examples so that we can make sure that we are truly saved. And I thought it was fascinating because they saw the miracles. They heard the word. They had Moses, the greatest, one of the greatest prophets to ever live. And yet many of them dropped dead. And it's like, well, wait a minute. This is crazy. How can you be under such an anointing, such a power, and still one day 20,000 are killed? And these are God's chosen people. It's interesting because even the writer Hebrews even tells us in chapter 3, where he tells us, don't be like them. They saw the glory of Moses. They were there. Their hearts were hardened. He says, harden not your hearts as they did in the day of temptation in the wilderness. But they grieved the Lord because they would not receive him. So we should be understanding that you can see the miracles, but don't grieve God by not doing anything. So they heard the word. They all saw the miracles. They just didn't do anything with what they saw. It did not profit them, according to Hebrews 4, verse 2, because it wasn't mixed with faith. Faith is action. You may hear, you may see some things, but action means you're going to obey to get results from God. And that's where a lot of people are missing it. And I've heard people saying this over the years. Oh yeah, I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus did that. But the question remains, do you believe he'll do it for you? Believe his stories, but do you believe he has a similar story for you? If you don't have that, why don't you? What's missing? What's blocking the road from you to really receive what Jesus is saying? And a lot of it has to do with what's already in the heart. You remember the parable of the sower? for it in Matthew chapter 13. And it's amazing that people can hear the word of God and it has no fruit at all. You know, it depends on the ground of their heart. You know, or is their heart just really, really stony where their seed cannot go in? So there's nothing there. The enemy just comes and takes it. Or maybe it's full of thorns. Thorns are those things in our lives, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things that are crowding out what it is that God is speaking. In order to receive the word of God, any word of the kingdom, but especially salvation, since that is the key to all the other blessings of God, is that we have to have a pure and honest heart before God. But if your heart is not pure toward God, chances are you never received them. Because no one can really truly have God in them and turn from God. You can't be negative toward the things of God and hateful toward God if he's in you. God is love. And if the love of God is in you, you love the things that God loves. You love all men. You love yourself as God loves you. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. But you have to love God first and receive God first. And as I said before, the Lord said this is a problem in the church. They never really received him. I never believed him. But it is a work of the Spirit that can only be done through the Holy Spirit. And I recall even the conversation Jesus had with his disciples. Who do men say that I am? And then he asked him, who do you say that I am? And Peter just came out, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? He said, well, blessed are you, because no human being told that to you. You learned that by the Spirit. And that's the key to our salvation, having that spiritual connection, having that revelatory knowledge from God that comes through his Holy Spirit about who he is. Because until you have a true revelation of who Jesus Christ is, you really haven't received him. Now, beloved, I just feel like I need to lead you in prayer. I'm hearing this in my spirit so clearly that some of you have heard the message and you're wondering now where I am with God. But the word is clear. If you don't believe that Jesus is the one, you'll die in your sins. And if you do believe in your heart that he is who he says he is, then you need to receive that. Not just in words, not just in thought only. You can pray right along with me. Dear God, I thank you for giving me Jesus. I thank you for allowing him to come show me the way. Thank you that you sent him as the prophet who will speak those words to me. I thank you, Jesus, for coming to show me how to live on this earth. I thank you for suffering and dying, for obtaining all the power in heaven and earth and giving that power back to me so that I can have a resurrected life. I thank you, Jesus, for leaving me the Holy Spirit, my comforter, my guide, my teacher, who will bring to remembrance all things you have said in your word, all things you said about my future, all prophecies about my destiny. Holy Spirit, I receive you as my guide and comforter. Lead me to the perfect will of God for my life every day. Talk to me, lead me, guide me, show me things to come. Show me the beautiful things about my salvation. Now, Lord, I renounce the past. I renounce all evil and all forms of disobedience in my life. And I turn my life and give it to you. I give my life wholly to you as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me how to renew my mind so I can live like the kingdom and not be conformed to this world, but be conformed to the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Lord, for showing me who I am in you and helping me. Thank you, Lord. And this is my prayer. This is Paula's prayer too. So you're joining the Paula's prayer for helping me to live up to that purpose and plan you have for me every day. So thank you, Lord. Now that I believe I received every word has come from my heart, I believe it with all of my heart. I not only believe that you can do it, I believe that you will do it for me in this life and that I will be willing and obedient to follow you and I shall eat the good of the land and experience your eternal life now and forevermore. And I say all this in Jesus' name, the Son of the living God, the one who was sent to show me the way, the one that is seated on the right hand of the Father now, looking down upon me and making intercession for me. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given me everything to be successful in this life. And I receive it this day in Jesus' name. Amen. There you have it, folks. Say goodbye to religion and hello, everlasting life. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.